Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos of Baltimore, BaltimorePositive.com is where all of our work lives. And of course, you can find Luke's work everywhere the internet travels, and our friends at Royal Farms and Jiffy Lube powering him up from Owings Mills down to the ballpark on Friday. We will be at Costas Inn, established in 1971. I was established back in 1968. This is our final crab cake tour before the birthday show. We really can't plan much in October, given the baseball schedule, but this is going to be a football segment. The Maryland Lottery has us out on the road, and Luke, you will be delighted to know that I do have the Ravens scratch-offs. Perhaps they were good luck in Dallas over the weekend. I know they were good luck for a lot of people. I had a $20 winner, a $5 winner, and a $2 winner, all at the same table at Fadley's on Friday when John Sarbanes came down and talked about his work in Congress, as well as James Bond from the Living Classrooms Foundation and Damie Hahn talking tons of oyster information, everything you ever wanted to know about oysters, as well as this Thursday coming up at the B&O Railroad Museum. We're going to be doing the big Oyster Recovery Partnership Festival. Friday, I'm at Costas for the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I am on day 17 right now of the oyster tour. I'm doing 26 oysters in 26 days. I've had such delicious oysters. I was over at True Chesapeake where I ran into Garrett Downing from BaltimoreRavens.com over brunch and these delicious French onion Gruyere. Oh my God. My wife's going to shoot me. I got to get her back into town. Our friends at Jiffy Lube, Ravens scratch offs at the Maryland Lottery. We're going to have it all together on Friday at Costas and then on the 11th at Pizza John's in Essex for our birthday. It's a pre-birthday here. What do you want for your birthday, Luke? Playoff team for baseball, some wins in New York this week. Maybe a quiet fourth quarter where they actually finish a football game and they got the Bills this week. You got the busiest week of the year, and happy pre-birthday to both of us as we go into October. My son celebrated his 40th birthday on Sunday with a very narrow victory by the Baltimore Ravens down in Jerry's World, where God was watching America's team almost pull off a miracle against the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, what do you want to look at? The three quarters where the Ravens looked like the team that we thought they were going to be, and they get their first win largely on the back of what they did over their first three quarters, or the team that looked dangerously like what we saw last week, only perhaps more extreme from the defensive standpoint, where, I mean, you give up 19 points in the fourth quarter. So they did finish. Now, it wasn't in capital letters. It wasn't bold-faced print. It wasn't a large font. They did finish. Lamar Jackson did find Zay Flowers on third down to move the chains. And then a couple plays later, coming out of the two-minute warning, Lamar runs for a first down to officially seal it. But my goodness, I mean, this was a game that you wanted to be so positive about over after three quarters and what they were able to do running the ball and Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, even Justice Hill, running the ball against a terrible Cowboys run defense. I mean, back-to-back weeks, the Saints ran for almost 200 against them as well. But
they looked like they didn't want to tackle Derrick Henry in the second
quarter.
Want
to tackle anyone.
Yeah,
I mean, they didn't tackle Nelson Aguilar on the big play. I mean, there was a lot of that. But give the Ravens credit for that. I mean, they made that happen. But at the same time, you got to finish a football game. A win is a win. And when you're 0-2, you don't apologize for that. You certainly will take it. There were so many positive things, but I'm sorry. What transpired in the fourth quarter really overshadowed that to a major degree when it's the second straight week that your defense plays so well and then just completely collapses. So, hey, they're 1-2. You never apologize for a win. You certainly never apologize for a road win. There was much positive to take, but I have a tough time coming out of that victory, you know, with any sense of euphoria when you are put yourself in that position where suddenly 28-6 in the fourth quarter is very, very uncomfortable in the final couple minutes.
Well, is any lead safe? That's what we're going to be asking about this team. And it's not even just finishing with just get off the field or maybe give up some sort of sloggy long drive where you make them dink and dunk and get down the field and have to use 6.5 minutes to and slog away and have to get on third downs, go for a couple of fourth. I mean, make them work for it. You know, if they're going to get back three touchdown scores into the game, how about making a field goal? How about making a first down? How about completing a pass? You know, I just I don't know what to say. I mean, it really was a tale of two games, and depending on when people get in the car or what segment they find us this week, we're either going to be in massive praise mode of how good the offense can be, that the offensive line was better, that John, I don't know what he, I don't even know why do we even have these press conferences? You know what I mean? Like, we're going to play back. Well, now we're not, we're going to use the offensive line we have. Whatever the game plan was, it worked. And they were running the ball on the road and running the team over and grading them. And then the next thing you know, they had a 22-point lead, and Lamar's running draw plays up the middle, up three touchdowns in the middle of the third quarter. I'm thinking, like, when are you getting them off the field? And they're having them running the linebackers. Like, I just, who's running the place? I mean, I like literally, how is this happening? And what are the calls on defense? And what are the assignments on defense? And how's the tight end running up the middle of the field when he couldn't do it all day? And they couldn't run the ball at all, and you knew they had to pass. Where's the pass rush? Where's the secondary? Now that's me being a jerk. That's what happens when you have to run the sleight of hand play and run your quarterback at the 2 minute warning 11 yards up the middle of the field just to seal the game. When you had a three touchdown lead, like I, it's really hard to feel great about them. I would feel better about them if they're playing Cleveland this week or Carolina, except that Carolina beat the team we lost to last week. So I don't even know who the bad teams are anymore. I just look at this team and say, yeah, I see everything you see. The two-time reigning MVP and Roquan Smith's potential and Kyle Hamilton, who I don't think's healthy. All of this potential and all like, and Zay Flowers zigs and Derrick Henry greats and where's Mark Andrews and where's Isaiah Likely and where's the tight end game? And I can play all of these games, but it was a disturbing sort of win if there's such a thing. I mean, because this team could be, not could be, should be a lot better than this. They should have won both weeks, covered, made the gamblers happy. You know, be 2-1 and say, well, we kind of had a boo-boo against Mahomes. They can't say that. And they got Sunday Night Football against the Bills. And, you know, they could go out and beat the Bills by three touchdowns, I guess. Or they could have a three touchdown lead and Josh Allen could lead a miracle on Sunday night. But I don't feel confident about this football team right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, do I think this is a bad football team? No, I mean, far from it, right? I mean, and I will stick up for them a bit when it comes to that talking point about all these leads that they've blown going back the last 3, 4 years. Bad teams don't jump out to big leagues like that, right? And they've won a lot of football games when you look at their overall record, right? So we know that. But
Yeah, they're not
there's
getting
just,
these leads by luck. These
right,
aren't block
exactly.
kicks or weird muff this or like short fields. It's, I mean, they've had long fields and like to your point, I listened to our segment before. I mean, they're leading the league in offense in all sorts of ways and going up and
Right.
down the field and doing everything, but putting sevens up. And then they put sevens up early on, and you're like, all right, now they're on to this and we're seeing what this can be. And now we're going to be talking all week about what happened in the fourth quarter more than what happened the first three quarters, I think.
Yeah, well, no quite. Well, it's the fourth quarter, right? I mean, that's if there's a quarter that matters, it's the fourth quarter, right? All of it counts, right? Let's be clear about this. In fact, I even joked as I was talking to a friend after the game, that it kind of felt like the Ravens season or the Ravens game was a microcosm of the Orioles season, right? This amazing first half that they kind of just lived off of as things got dicey at the end. And that's kind of what the Orioles are dealing with right now. They're living off of what they did in the first half. But that's neither here nor there. I think what's just so concerning for me. And obviously, there are elements of this. I mean, they have the worst pass defense in the NFL in terms of yards per game. They were going into that game, and then they gave up what they gave up, specifically in the fourth quarter, where, I mean, and what's frustrating is you see them do it for 3 quarters, right? I mean, this is 2 weeks in a row. I mean, the Raiders, that was a little more extreme, but I mean, the Raiders had 43 yards or whatever it was in the first half last week. The Cowboys had 6 points with a little over 11 minutes to go. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. So you can't be a terrible defense and do that for 3 quarters, but you can't be a great defense and do what they did in the fourth quarter. So what is going on there? But I think overall, Nestor, what's concerning for me, and it's a point that we were talking about a couple years ago, we talked about it early last year, and we're seeing it again this year, is for as well as they play overall, right? And as well as they played through the first 3 quarters on Sunday, there's just something about when things go south, when things start to go sideways, it's like this aura surrounds the team where everyone's waiting for something bad to happen. I mean, think about just the general sequence of events on Sunday. Justin Tucker misses. No, this wasn't from 56. This wasn't from 53. Justin Tucker misses from 46. It's growing more difficult to ignore this at this point in time. And no, I saw people saying they need to work out kickers, stuff like that. I mean, come on, get serious. That said, that doesn't mean that everything's fine either. And I think it was telling as the clock was running down to zero. You could see on the Fox telecast, John Harbaugh talking at length with Justin Tucker there. And, I think there were certainly words of encouragement, probably trying to lift up his kicker who has been so amazing for so long. I mean, this was the first time I went back and looked at this, Nestor. It's the first time in Justin Tucker's career he's missed a field goal in 3 straight games. That's pretty remarkable when you think about that. But it speaks to the standard that he's had for himself for so long and where he is right now. I mean, it's unsettling. But from that point, when he misses that field goal, think about what happens. Dallas drives down the field, scores a touchdown. Okay. I mean, that was their first touchdown of the game. No problem at that point. However, onside kick, Zay Flowers doesn't recover it. Dallas gets the ball back, scores another touchdown. They recover the next onside kick. However, they go three and out, including a third and three that Lamar throws errant to Mark Andrews. They get a good punt. Next drive, OA penalty, Dallas touchdown. Ravens' final drive that they did. Ultimately, they were able to finish, even if you want to put it in very small font, they did finish. But even on that drive, that second down run, Derrick Henry slips and falls, setting up third down. I mean,
It's
just
almost
so
like
many things. And
slapstick, right? I mean, like when it starts to
it
go
just,
wrong, it feels like,
yeah.
come on, man, make a play, somebody. And you can almost hear Harbaugh
Somebody.
saying like that, somebody make a play. And then, we could talk about Zach Orr calling plays, and we can talk about where the defense is aligned. We can talk about Kyle Hamilton's health, I think, to some degree. I think we have to talk about the pass rush. And by the way, we're about 12 minutes into this segment. What about penalties? Just in general,
Yeah.
penalties. Penalties are
Sure.
what has defined this team over the first 3 weeks. I mean, it's something we're talking about every Monday morning, is a blown lead, blown assignments, fourth quarter, penalties, inability to finish games, inability to finish games offensively either. Take the ball, run it up their ass. That's what you're paying them to do. That's what this is all about. Or bring back Gus Edwards. Somebody's got to run the ball in the fourth quarter, not name Lamar Jackson with a 3-touchdown lead. Shameful. I mean, it really is.
Well, I mean, Lamar Jackson can run the football, but yeah,
Oh,
you
geez,
don't
here
want to
we go
have to rely.
again.
Oh, geez, here we go again. You're talking about a two-time MVP. Like, you need to let this go.
You
He
got
runs the
Derrick
ball.
Henry in the fourth
Okay,
quarter,
but
run
you have
him.
Lamar Jackson. I mean,
Well,
you
that's
could
what they
keep
did.
you
That's what
could
they
keep
did.
saying this, but like, he's not Joe Flacco back there. He's Lamar Jackson. Look, I don't know why you have such trouble with the idea that the greatest running quarterback in NFL history is going to run the football. Period. You think it's changing at this point? I mean, I don't know. But anyway, that
Look, with
aside,
the game on the line, it's one thing. With a 3-touchdown lead in the
the
third
game,
quarter,
they need the.
at the end, that's the. Look, I wrote my column this week off of that play. Like, the headline was, when it came down to it, when it came, they needed a play. The play is, here's Zay, you take it, take it, take it. No, we'll go the other way. And the two fastest guys on the field split the field in half. drop linebackers to their knees, and Lamar laughs for 11 yards until somebody figures out how to tackle him, right? Like, that's their best play. That's what they went with at the 2-minute warning. Lamar Jackson being a part of that, I'm down with that. The fact that it happened 58 minutes into a game where they had a 22-point lead and their quarterback is running into linebackers, running for his life and for the game when guys could take his head off, I it's just, I mean, how about this? This is where if my dad were here, he'd say something really. I wish my dad could call the show. So I should do a character and be my dad. If you could be your dad and we could talk to each, channel our dads, especially now that my kid's 40. My dad would say, "They're not winning a Super Bowl like this. You can't be running into linebackers at the 2-minute warning, fighting for your life, doing that RPO crap to get away with it at the end, running your quarterback into the middle of the line in the 58th minute of the game and using him like a running back for 17 weeks." Like, I just, it's just, we can go back and forth, but when he's not playing and I see other quarterbacks get broken in half and I see Justin Herbert, Chargers are done. Call Harbaugh's brother, let him, Taylor Heineke, he's better off at Meineke than that. They're going nowhere without their quarterback. Keep my quarterback upright. He shouldn't be having to run the ball like that in the second half. That's how I feel about it. And I'll always feel that way, especially when he ran the ball 16 times 2 weeks ago and lost. There's my rant.
Okay. I would say everything else about the team leads them to that point. So to me, that's not a Lamar problem. That's a everything else needs to be better. I mean, I don't really have that many issues with the offense. I mean, the offense ran the ball. I mean, what, 200? What was the final total? It was 274 yards. Derrick Henry had 151 of those.
Yeah, the offense had nothing to do with Tucker missing a kick and them not recovering on onside kick,
I
other than Zay
mean,
Flowers is on the offense.
there was one drive in the midst of that where you say, yeah, you don't want to go three and out, obviously, right? Obviously. I'm not absolving
And
them at the
throwing the
same,
ball and stopping the clock too.
right? But at the same time, I mean, you have to do what you have to do at the end of a game. I have no problem seeing Lamar Jackson run the ball at the very end of the game if
I
that's what
agree
they
with
have to
that.
do.
I agree
But
with
it's just
that.
like,
That's still
why
their
is it
best
getting
play
to
though.
that point?
That's their best play 7 years into this. And
Well,
it needs to be better than that. That's why Mark Andrews exists. That's why these other guys. And by the way, Luke's here. He's Baltimore Luke. I'm feisty, nasty Nestor because the tech service is back. Brought to you by Cole Roofing. So we got our first text sent out. I believe, and we're fresh to this because we've got a new service that you can text join or WNST to 410-821-9678. And if you're familiar with that number, it's 821 WNST. It is our studio number. So if you start getting texts from that number, you're among 5,557 people that are included, actually 58, because somebody texted me to join early on Monday morning. So Luke is back on that. And by the way, Luke, I want to say this to you in the middle of a Ravens thing where I'll be nice in a minute. We could talk about how awesome the offense was and how great John's leadership is and all that stuff in a minute. But I would say for the tech service, appreciate everyone thinking that when they read it out loud, they hear it in my voice, which is when they stop getting it, they're all like, every time I got the text, I heard it in your voice. And I'm like, Luke's sending it. So hear it in Luke's voice. So if you're going to do an AI and do a readable thing, like my wife has the AI guy that reads the MapQuest when she's driving around, and he's Australian, so it sounds a little bit like Rocket All. So when you hear the WNST text, hear it in the voice of Luke Jones, not in the voice of Nestor. I just want to say that because you're the one laboring on it. So look, the offense, I look, I'll, I can sit here and play positivity about their upside because it's obvious. They almost beat the Chiefs. They came a dippy dippy toe, right? We can play that game. They almost beat the Chiefs and they had a lead on the Raiders and they did beat the Cowboys on the road. Like they could be 3-0. We can play that game, or we can play the what's wrong and how do they fix it. And oh, by the way, Buffalo and Cincinnati, like as I wrote, like, they'll get their real equilibrium when they wake up 1-4 or 3-2 or 2-3, whatever they're going to be, because these next two games are little weird September, October playoff games in the, sort of in the early part of this to say, where are you really? Are you where you were struggling to beat lowly Oakland or Vegas, whatever they're called this week, or scuffling to just get by in Dallas after having them on the ropes for three quarters? Or I mean, these are the heavyweights. If Buffalo and Cincinnati aren't in the playoffs in January, and now that San Diego's or LA's, I keep calling them by their old names because I'm an old guy. They'll always be San Diego to me. I would just say, like, I don't think they're going to be in the playoffs. So yeah, they're going to see Mahomes in January at some point if they're going to have to try to get there. But it feels like these next two are the next two in line, and these are big football games, and they're real. A real measuring point as to whether this is 1-4, 2-3, or 3-2.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I don't, you know, they're not playoff games or anything like that. And I know what you were saying. You were, but you know,
Well, they
they're
won't be playoff
measuring
games if
stick
you're one and
games.
four, if you lose them.
Well, I mean, you know, remains to be seen. But they certainly need to. They want to start building some momentum here, and it looked like they had done that through three quarters. I mean, where I'll compliment them is, I think it was very evident they knew. They wanted to run the ball, and they went out and did that. I mean, Lamar Jackson, you know, say what you want about your line about running into linebackers and all that, that you like saying all the time, but he threw 15 times. That was the fewest times he's thrown in a game in his career that he has started and finished. I mean, it was very evident. They saw what that Dallas front looked like against New Orleans the previous week, and they said, we're going to gash them. They didn't even make any changes along the offensive line, which I think they were absolutely prepared to do, depending on how that game went. But they ran the ball, whether it was design runs with Lamar, whether it was design, you know, obviously design runs to Derrick Henry. Justice Hill had a few carries in there that he ran well. I mean, it was Dallas. That front is too light. They didn't want to tackle it. They were the less physical team, and the Ravens dominated them. That's why it's so, you know, bewildering that the game was what it was at the end, because the Ravens had dominated and controlled the game and imposed their will on them. So how does that happen? I mean, that's where I look at the defense and say, how do you go from doing what you did the first three quarters in a game in which you weren't on the field a whole lot, right? I mean, it's not like Dallas had this dominating edge in time of possession the way the game was going. So how does the defense not finish stronger? And then in turn, the offense, which again, you look at the fourth quarter, it's not as though they had a slew of miscues or anything like that. They had the three and out. You know, Tucker missed a field goal. I did think it was telling that the Ravens at the 40-yard line, the Dallas 40, following that missed field goal later in the quarter, they're at the Dallas 40 indoors and they punt it. I mean, was that not telling? Instead of sending out Justin Tucker to kick a 57, 58-yard field goal, and you know that it felt like that wasn't even a consideration at
Well,
that
I think
point.
Harbaugh thought I don't want him to miss two.
Sure. Well, and part of it is if you don't think he's
No, just the
going to.
confidence level, just sort of like,
Oh.
or hey, where he is, he's not. I don't like the way. Look, John Harbaugh, he hates when I say this. So I definitely want to say this out loud. Good morning, John. It's nice to hear from you last week. He's a special teams coach. I mean, that's his special skill that he's had. Like, I'm a writer. As I pointed out this week in my 40th anniversary with the News America, and I did an hour with a whole bunch of old people that you can check out at Baltimore Positive. It's his first skill set. If he's not feeling, smelling good about the kicker, I mean, I trust his instinct right up there with Dave Taub, and you name any of the great. He's one of the great special teams coaches, literally in the history of the game, right? Because he took that job and has turned it into a Hall of Fame career now, or borderline Hall of Very Good, depending on where you are. Going to the Hall of Fame for blowing fourth quarter leads. There's my Earl Weaver because John Miller, the author, is here having people read the Earl Weaver script. Are you aware of this? I got to tell you about this in the baseball segment. I talked to John Miller, not the other John, this John Miller with an H. He's having people read the Earl Weaver script on the street for comedy. Like, anyway. So, but back to Harbaugh. You know, for me with this, I look at these decisions from a leadership standpoint for John, that part of this is how do you get the confidence back of Justin, right? Like, and it might not be a 57-yard indoor kick in Texas in his home state. I mean, just the fact that he was sort of coaching, whatever you felt like you saw on the screen at the end of the game, that there's something about Justin Tucker that, you know, we're going to wind up having to do a segment about that this week, and he's going to stand at his locker and talk about regrouping and not missing kicks because this is. We talked about Adley Rutschman for 3 months, right? Adley Rutschman's got a two-year track record of doing this. Justin Tucker's got a 12 years in a Hall of Fame resume. We're gonna wind up talking about this a little bit, I think, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, and I still will maintain that so much of that discussion about misses from 50 plus, if you go back the last couple of years and look at a lot of those, some of those were extremely long kicks, right? We're not talking about missing a bunch of 50, 51, 52, right? So,
He's tried kicks nobody else would try, right?
sure, no question.
And just like in the
However,
broadcasting, 52 used to be, Tom Brady says 52 used to be like 52. Hey, 53, we don't kick. 55, we don't, unless it's to the end of the game. These guys are just doing 60s like, it really is remarkable in the way we talk about pitching and everybody's max effort, and everybody throws 100 miles an hour. We're now at the point where kickers kick 60 yards like it used to be 50.
well, how about the fact that Brandon Aubrey, who go back and look at his numbers since the start of last year, and specifically his numbers from 50 plus since the start of last year, he made a 65-yard field goal midway through the first quarter. I mean, think about that. That it's not a 65-yarder with 3 seconds left in the half, or you're trying a miracle 65-yarder to win the football game. I mean, even Justin Tucker, when he made a 66-yarder in Detroit, I mean, the Ravens needed that or they would have lost, right?
But you're also turning the ball over in your own territory
You
if
miss
you
it?
miss it,
Sure. Yeah, no
right?
question. But that just speaks to,
It's like
and
getting a punt blocked almost, kind of, sort of, a little bit.
but it speaks to the confidence level they have in Brandon Aubrey. I mean, it's the only thing they had going for them in the first half, if you're Dallas. But yeah, I mean, it's the difference here is one, if you kind of look at this, Justin Tucker, just about all of these misses are to the left. He's not, it's not as though this is a question of how much leg does he have left, right? This isn't like Matt Stover coming up short on 48-yard field goals at the end of his career. This is something that seems either mechanical or, whether it's the yips, whatever it might be. It's something that's not calibrated correctly. And again, it's one thing if you're talking about missing a 56-yarder, but it's another thing if it's from 53 or 52. And it's surely another thing when you're talking about it being from 46, the way that it was on Sunday. So again, it's not being cut. It's not time to bring in other kickers, but this needs to get remedied because it does feel like it's not just that it's not getting better, that feels like it's getting a little worse. And that's where it's
Well, when it's
concerning,
fourth
right?
and seven from the 34 this week at home, and they're kicking into the Ray Lewis dance end zone, my former seats at 513, are they kicking a 51-yarder? Or are they, I mean, I don't, against Buffalo at 8:45 when the lights are on and the mafia's there and everybody's hammered? I don't know. Luke, we're gonna break. I want to come back, talk offense. I want to talk. You and I fight so much about Lamar that I love it, and I think our audience deserves our best shots on that, and situational offense. I want to talk situational offense. I want to talk about tight ends. I want to talk about the O-line, give them the praise, and where we are with Falele, that Lamar's chirping in the examination room. I was wondering whether that was Lamar or Chad Steele chirping off Mike in the post game, because I wasn't in the room in Texas. But we're going to be around all week examining all this. Luke is here. I am here. The Orioles are in New York. We're holding on for playoff games next week. That's its own bag of donuts, as we'd say, the Orioles and what happened over the weekend against the Tigers, and where we are with pitching, and where we are with health, and where we are with all of that. Everything we're doing here brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare. We have the Crab Cake Tour coming to Costas on Friday. I'm in the middle of eating oysters like literally everywhere, and I'm now getting to the point where I'm going to these Gucci oyster joints like True Chesapeake for brunch, and the girls there who eat nothing but oysters are like, "What's the best one you've had?" And I'm like, "You got to go to Annapolis, this place called the Federal House. Get the crab ceviche. Tell them I sent you." It is the Maryland Oyster Tour. It's all brought to you by Curio Wellness and Far and Daughter. I had Wendy on this week talking about fall and talking about all kinds of cool stuff. We try to educate folks about cannabis around here, and really also our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions. They've really done a great job about educating me about water. When Don Mueller and I began the Baltimore Positive thing, just in the general sense of Trump running the country and the craziness and like all the plague, water and clean water is always sort of on my menu because I drink so much of it. It's so directed to health. Maybe because I grew up near Back River and, the aromas. Liberty Pure Solutions, 1-800-CLEAN-WATER, make sure my water is clean. We use well water. Almost everybody in Northern Baltimore County has well water. If you have them, you need experts. You got the little green stuff. Don't do that. It's bad for you. Not just bad for you, it'll kill you. Liberty Pure Solutions, 1-800-CLEAN-WATER. They are powering us up for all things oysters in the same way that the oysters help clean the bay. Dami Han was with me, as well as James Bond of the Living Classrooms Foundation, promoting Maritime Magic on October 4th. That is happening right down at the Maritime Magic Pavilion, down at the edge of Fells Point, right by Cooper's, right where the Fells Point Oyster Festival was last week. That's going on October the 4th. Also was joined by John Sarbanes. We got plenty of sports this week, tons and tons of incredible conversations all the way through as we get ready for the Buffalo Bills and the Mafia this week. Luke and I have plenty of football ahead, plenty of baseball ahead. I am Nestor. He is Baltimore Luke, everywhere the internet travels. And we are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive. Stay with us.